I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Top 5, the patron-only podcast where I, Josh Earle, sit down with a good friend. We discuss the top 5 of a topic of our choice. So today, it's my friend, it's David Quinn, everyone. Yay!
Oh my God, yay! This is a big moment for me because it's been a long time since I've seen you. And
I know.
I think the last time I saw you, you threw cake at me and then...
No. I remember the last... Because that memory came up in on Facebook yesterday because you posted about it.
Oh, really?
But the last time I saw you was just on the street 2 years ago at Comedy Festival. And then I was thinking, when was the last time before that? And then I reckon it was our mutual friend Bin's house.
Oh, my God.
In like 2000 and... Oh, I'm going to say like 6. I reckon that was the last time before that.
Yep. Okay. That sounds about right.
But with social media, you pop up. Even though you don't physically see people, you do pop up. So let's just tell the listeners where we actually know each other from.
Well, this is what, 2000? No. God, 2001?
1999. Oh, shit. No. Another millennium ago.
I have to actually have totally different numbers in front of it all.
Yeah.
So 1999, you were at University of Tasmania studying Bachelor of Performing Arts, and I was 1 year ahead of you,
I think. I think you were 2 years ahead of me.
Oh, God. Okay. Well, there you go. I'm even older. Cool.
Yes. So.
Yeah, because I was third year when you were first year.
That's it.
Yeah.
So we both studied. We both, in that first year, we were both in the same play. So the University of Tasmania, they used to do this great thing called the Student Directed Program.
Oh, it was so good.
And it was pretty much giving third years like responsibility to choose their own play, direct their own play, cast their own play. And we were cast together in the same. Do you remember what the play was?
Was this Family Rang for Mr. Whippy?
No.
Which one was it?
Christie and Love.
Oh, my God.
So, Philip Styler was the director.
Oh, my God. I forgot this entirely.
I know. You, me, and Mick Coleman, it was the first time my parents had made the trip up to watch me in a play in Launceston.
Yeah, that huge 2-and-a-bit-hour trek or something like that.
Yeah, but back then, my parents would never drive.
And no.
The first scene of that play, so you and Mick would do some bawdy limericks. That was like the first 5 minutes of the play. Which my parents loved. They're like, oh, this is funny. This is great. And then for the listener. So the whole set was like a boxing ring, but it had chicken wire around, instead of ropes, chicken wire.
Oh, my God.
And then it was filled up with paper, like scrunched up newspaper.
Yes.
For about 2 foot off the ground. There. And I was under the newspaper for this first bit. And then I appeared, and with the lighting behind me, not in front, so it was just my silhouette, and I masturbated, simulated it.
Good, I'm glad.
And it was like a hose pipe and that was like my first minute scene. And it was like my parents going, so this is what we're paying for. Okay, this is great.
I have a feeling that that's probably one I didn't let my parents come and see.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that was that. So you graduated, but you were still around. You're still you're still living in Launceston.
Yeah.
And then next
year, I did that
year,
for a very long time.
Oh, so Christie and Love I played a serial killer who was being interrogated.
That's right.
Yeah. And then the next year, we were in a play called The Interrogation.
Oh shit, man! Yeah. You are just like opening up all of these old memories, and I realize how much shit I'd forgotten from uni.
Yeah. So I was once again being interrogated.
I really can understand why you held that against me. You know, clearly, like, I had a bad relationship with you, and I'm sorry.
But Nathan Berry, I think, directed it? Or
yeah, because it was it Pinter or something like that?
I can't remember who it was. Yeah.
I almost want to look it up, but that would be
I don't think it was Pinter, because I don't remember there being that many pauses in between every line. But I remember my nan came to this one, and in this one it was quite, quite not violent, but like it was. Like, I was really being thrown around a fair bit,
right?
And my nan afterwards goes, "I wanted to jump down and smack that boy who was hitting you, which was you." Like, yeah. I remember who the else was in it. Sarge. Is that his name?
Yes.
He had long hair and a moustache.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Don't, that's in, like, the guy in the local area called Sarge who had walked with a cane?
Oh,
or was
remember.
That the character?
I don't know. But anyway.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
That's where we come from.
Yeah. Well, that is where we came from. But then, like, we sort of worked more together later on where we were a part of this thing that I look back on with so much, like, love and fondness. Because we were doing stuff there that was experimental as hell.
Yeah.
Like, we were doing a pub-based theatre show every week that was a soap opera, but it was all improv with, what, 8, 10 characters?
Yeah, I was late to that. I reckon I came like episode 4 or 5.
Even still, that's like, I know. We still did 2 seasons of it.
But I was so
three.
So sorry. Jealous finding out that it was starting.
Oh, right.
And I wasn't involved. So it was like Stuart Loon, you, Nathan Berry, Jeremy Fee, Fleur, Carly Watley, Jace Morrison, all these like who were like. And it was like this cool little click. And I talk about this to people, like going, it was packed. It was at the Royal Oak Hotel.
There would have been 150, 200 people plus every Thursday night for 10 weeks.
Yeah.
Like chockers.
And so the show was, we would have devised kind of just the bare bones of it for the first half. Then we'd say to the audience, all right, what do you want to happen next? We'd take suggestions, I'd write them down, people would yell out. We'd go off, have a break, everyone go get beers, come back for the second act.
Yeah, and then at the end of the play, we'd also say, okay, and this is where it got really ballsy. We're like, put your suggestions on our website.
Yeah.
Like, this is pre-Facebook. This is just, like, send us emails with your suggestions, and then we'd get together on a Sunday and kind of nut out vaguely what we were going to do, But it was like theatre sports in the sense that, like, you've got this one person who's guiding the story. Like, there are 3 different rooms and you could bring a room to life and the people in that room just had to improv.
Yeah.
Fucking go for it. Yeah. And this is where you got the smartest with it. He could then, you know, ding a thing and you'd have to have an internal monologue.
Oh, yeah.
And your internal monologues were the thing that just were fucking showstoppers.
Well, this is why I do comedy, because of that.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Like, because my character, I remember I played songs. It was when I first started playing guitar. And Rick Cheshire was in the audience. He would go to all of them. And he was the artist. Yeah, he had a zine called Clunk Magazine or Clunk Zine.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, hey, I'm doing a little fundraiser for my zine. Do you want to come and do a spot? And it was my first ever stand-up spot. And you emceed.
Yeah, right. Because I remember doing it. But I didn't realise that was your first ever.
It was my first ever stand-up spot. And then someone in the audience was bringing in Rod Quantock like the following week and said, do you want to host that? And then Rod said, hey, if you're really serious about comedy, you should actually move to Melbourne and try and do it. And
yeah, so
that
right.
was the... And it all kind of happened at the right time. Like me and Megan broke up just before that. And so I was like, all right, I want to do something for me. I want to actually, like, I can go off and do whatever I want now.
Yeah.
She was holding me back. It was just that thing.
No. But it's that thing where this is the same reason I left Tasmania.
Yeah.
You know, I'd been in a long-term relationship and then it ended and you're like, I think I've done everything I need to do here.
Exactly.
You know, time to go.
Yeah. But, and then, so that whole thing is how me and David know each other.
Yeah. Going back 20 plus years. Yeah.
But that's not what we're talking about today.
No.
You've got on, you have done, like, you've always been interested in film and pop culture and stuff like that, and that's what you kind of do now in your career?
Yeah, yeah. So basically, for the past, oh God, since 2005, we started a podcast before people knew what podcasts were, where we had to explain, it's like the radio, but on your internet.
Yeah.
That was basically just a movie review show. You know, there's 3 billion of them now. Back in 2005, we were to the point where we were actually in the National Library in Canberra as being culturally significant.
Excellent.
And we were like, cool, sweet. I don't know what the fuck that means, but whatever. So we did that for 5-6 years, something like that. And then we all sort of moved away and did other things. And then in the middle of that, I started working for a big event called Supernova, which is big pop culture, nerd Comic-Con type thing.
Yep.
And did that for 15 years. And then this year I stopped because Nazis. So, yeah.
Great. Do you feel, can I just say, do you feel almost like, what's the word I'm looking for? Not content, but the fact that the world has caught up to you, because you were always into like comic books and Marvel and DC and all that kind of stuff. And now the whole world is on your side.
Yeah, it is lovely because now you can have a conversation with people and they don't look at you like you're a complete weirdo.
Yeah.
And, you know, there is that really nice thing of going, oh, you all know what, you know, Baby Yoda looks like, don't you? Yeah. He's afloat in Thanksgiving Day parades. Yeah, cool.
Because I remember there was a kid at my high school who was really into Transformers. Like, really into Transformers. And then when those movies became the biggest movies in the world at that time, I'm like, oh, Kevin must be loving this. He must be like, I told you it was cool.
See, everybody, look, see. Yeah.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.